and how God has changed me and transformed me. And I'm still a work in progress, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not where I want to be, but not where I used to be. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. So I would start out, like most testimonies start out, I came from a Christian home, and I was born in Texas. And in the first 6 years of my life, I had quite the church experience, that's for sure. I learned who God was real fast, because in our church services, they lasted till like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And the things I seen people dancing in the spirit, slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues, people being delivered of demons. I mean, I'm not even joking. And so I had a real experience in an encounter. And then when I was 4 years old, for the first time, I experienced the Holy Spirit. And I spoke in tongues when I was 4 years old. And I didn't even know what that was. One night I went into the room, and my mom and my brother and my two sisters were in the room. And all of a sudden I just felt this presence. So I sat down in my Bubba chair. I had this little Bubba rocking chair. And all of a sudden it was just like a force hit me, and I went straight back. And all of a sudden I lost control of my tongue. I wasn't in control anymore. The Holy Spirit was. And so we sat in there for like hours. I don't even know what time it was. And so all of a sudden, after I got done with that, I told my mom to get a trash bag. Mind you, 4 years old. I had no idea what I was doing, really, but I was being led by the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, I went out on the front porch, and I started throwing away things of Disney. I started throwing away things that wasn't representing God. I threw away Snow White and the Seven Doors. My mom said, "Why are you getting rid of that?" I go, "Because it's witchcraft, Mom." And think about it, 4 years old, I don't even know what witchcraft is. You know what I mean? But you're going to tell me right now that if you don't think the Holy Spirit can move in just in a young kid, you better think again. Amen. Because Amen. It starts, because it says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. And even though I became the prodigal son in a real bad way, you know, I rebelled and I did what I did, I always knew I was coming back to the church, because I knew the truth. Once you know the truth, you will always be convicted. When you get into certain situations, whether it's fornicating, whether it's doing drugs, whether it's watching, whatever you're doing, you know it's not right, but you're trying to feed that flesh. So you're always fleshing out. This pastor talked about fleshing out, and how we have, you know, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because we will flesh out. And so I would have to say, so we moved to New York in 85, and then from 85 to 89, we moved 4 places. We moved to Watertown, Adams Center, Brownville, and then to Black River, where my mom still lives, 89. So, and then I was always sheltered. I never knew what a rated R movie was. I was never around swearing. I was never brought around swearing or any kind of bad behavior at all. So when I had a chance for the first time, my neighbors next door, the kids, they had video games. They had rated R movies. They were talking like a bunch of truckers. And so, therefore, I got caught into it. I'm like, ooh, I kind of like this, you know what I mean? But I knew that when I got home, I couldn't do that. So it's kind of hard to tame your tongue, you know what I mean? And so, therefore, I'd get in trouble here and there. But I'd always sneak the secular music. And it wasn't rock and roll when I started out. It was hip-hop. You know, all the kids were watching, listening to rock. I was listening to hip-hop. I was into Snoop Dogg and, like, all this really raunchy stuff, you know what I mean? And so, anyways, I kind of like drifted away from church, but Mom always kept me in the church. Mom's been my firm foundation my whole life. Let me tell you something, I wouldn't be standing here right now if it wasn't for God and my mom. Because my mom, you know what I mean? When times were tough, she kept me in church. No matter what happened, if I didn't want to go, you're going to church. It didn't matter. But when we got to a certain age, she told us, she's like, you know what? You can do whatever you want, but you know what? I still went to church, no matter what. Even though I might have not had that relationship like I did when I was a young kid, but I always knew it was the right thing to do. You know what I mean? So, Mom always kept me into church, and I wrote a song called "Mama Knows Best." And I always like to brag about my mom, so give me a minute here. Okay, there's a song called "Mama Knows Best." It says, "Mama was strong and raised us right. Doing her best every day and night, making sure our mouths are fed. When times are tough, she did her best." And then the chorus goes, "Don't you know that Mama knows best? She sacrificed everything she had. She had 4 kids, left the world behind. Left the world behind. Born again to the day that she dies." And then the second verse is called, when times are tough out on the road, when we came up from Houston, Texas in a bus. When times are tough out on the road, Houston to New York, here we come. Half a tank of gas and spending on luck. Mama always prayed to God above. Don't you know that mama knows best? That's what I'm saying. So I always had that influence. And then I would go to my school life, and I struggled a lot because I was learning disabled. So it's not that I didn't understand what was going on. It's just I didn't learn pick up on things as quick as other kids. You know what I mean? But when I got it, it's like memory verses. It's in my head. You know what I mean? But in school, they put you in a resource room. But I was very thankful because they taught me things that we need to learn in school, like in everyday life. You know what I mean? Like balancing a checkbook and things. You know, regular math. I'm not doing trigonometry or algebra. I haven't done one of those yet. I don't know about you. But anyways, but I really struggled with school because I was diagnosed with ADD and ADHD. Now, you can say whatever you want, but I was a very energetic kid. Oh, yeah. And I had an imagination. I had an imagination that put Walt Disney to shame. Let me tell you something. I would literally be in school and have a pencil thinking it was a gun or a helicopter. I'd be rolling around the ground like I was a troop or something. They would, you know, so I was going to the office, and I was quite a, I could be a nuisance sometimes, you know what I mean? But I'm telling you, I know a lot of people ain't big on Ritalin, but my grades were in the 50s. And when I got Ritalin, I went up to the 80s. Just like that. You know what I mean? I got focused. But I was always had a problem focusing, and I always like had a hard time just dealing with school because I really didn't like school. But when it came to history, I loved it. And when it came to gym, I loved it. So I always picked the last period because I didn't have to get all sweaty during the day. I was like, yeah, I can go home right after this one. You know what I mean? And so, but I was into sports. I was very active. I didn't have arthritis yet. And so I lived a pretty healthy childhood, but everything really went downhill in my 11th grade year. And all of a sudden, I was going out with Greg's sister back there, Erica. And then when we broke up, that's when I decided to make bad decision after bad decision. All of a sudden, I decided to join a rock band. That was the worst thing that I possibly could have did because me, I didn't know what that lifestyle was like. It was nothing but sex, drug, and besides that, well, there actually was no sex, but there was the drugs and the rock and roll, you know what I mean? So, anyways, I got into pot for the first time, and when I got into pot and I started doing things, all of a sudden, I had to be the cool kid that was in a rock band, the singer, you know what I mean, in school. So I started doing things that wasn't cool, and I was getting in detention, I was getting expelled, so therefore my grades are slipping again. And not only that, but my home life was getting worse, you know? Like, me and my dad were always going at it and stuff because I was rebelling, and I was doing my thing, you know what I mean? So eventually, it got to the point where I got kicked out. And when I got kicked out, that's when the real adventure started. Like, I moved to Watertown, and I was living from place to place. I lost my job at Taco Bell. So therefore, I'm staying with friends. I'm living on the streets. I stay with my sister. And then I came down with severe arthritis one day. And, like, I literally couldn't even get up out of bed one day. And so I didn't know what was going on with me. And then, so anyways, I made another bad decision where I just said, okay, I'm going to get a job at Bob Evans. I have to do something with my life. So I got a job at Bob Evans. Then me and my friend got an apartment at a studio in the Solar Building. It wasn't much, but it was something I can call my own, you know what I mean? And so we got in our apartment for the first time, but I wasn't getting the hours. And, of course, I was paying my rent, and I had just enough money for that and my drugs. So I didn't even care if I ate. So I wasn't eating good. I wasn't doing this. And then some bad influences came along. And then all of a sudden, they came over and they gave me some food. I was like, man, where do you get all this food? He's like, oh, we steal it. So I'm thinking, okay. But at that time, when you're living the world, you don't think about that stuff. You're just trying to survive, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay. So I got the bright idea to go rob cars with these guys. And if you know me, I'm not a criminal. I'm not very good at it. Okay, let me tell you right now. So anyways, we went, and we were doing that for a while. Then one night, to make a long story short, it escalated. The kid decided to go into a doctor's house and steal a shotgun out of his house. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what are we going to do with that? I'm like, well, and I had another bright idea to put it in my house. And I'm like, why would I put it in my house? Well, then we went back out that night and started stealing cars again. Then we got busted by the cops. Now, mind you, they didn't even know about the shotgun. Okay. Oh, whatever. Well, I don't want the Bible to be on the ground. So they didn't even know about the shotgun. And so I'm in an interrogation room. If you know me, I'm the kind of kid when I was a young kid that you couldn't tell me a secret. My brothers and sisters never told me anything because they know I would spill the beans. So therefore, that doesn't make for a good criminal. You know where they say snitches get stitches? Well, guess what? I'd probably be getting a lot of stitches. Okay. So anyways, I got into the interrogation room, and all of a sudden, my heart starts racing, and I'm like, oh, boy. Then I seen the detective. I go, this is the real McCoy here. You know, so all of a sudden, I spilled the beans. I'm like, the gun's in my apartment. Like, Eagle's gun. I go, you didn't know about it? So anyways, this isn't funny, but it's kind of ridiculous when you're looking back at it. So anyways, he goes, take me to the gun. And all of a sudden, my friend sleep at the apartment with his girlfriend. All of a sudden, before you know it, the poor guy, he said, I don't want no part of it. Before you know it, he had 5 or 6 cops rushing into my apartment, you know, and there was paraphernalia everywhere. They confiscated his pieces. He was madder than a redhead. You know what I mean? What are you doing to me? You know? So anyways, so they took the shotgun, and before you know it, guys, like, my life just got turned upside down. Like, I lost my job. I was put in an orange jumpsuit. I mean, and I lost my job, I lost my apartment, I lost pretty much everything. And so therefore, they put me on probation when they could. It was a Class A felony for stealing the gun. Even if you're, what do you call it when you're with somebody? You're accomplice. Yeah, when you're accomplice. You know, so they were going to give me a Class A, but they only gave me with some misdemeanor or something like that. So I got on probation release. Now, mind you, I loved doing pot so much that I was okay. So when I got out, first thing I did, and being on probation, they said, the only thing you have to do is go to Credo and go to GED. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I went there. The first day in Credo, I'm like, nope, I'm out of here. I ain't doing it. And so I went to GED, tried that, and I got sick of that. So I just kept making bad decision after bad decision. And then like a month, I got arrested twice in 1 month. I was hungry, I didn't have a job, so therefore I told my friend, take me to Great American, I'm getting some food. And so I had this Raiders jacket, I never forget, I borrowed my friend's Raiders jacket and had a drawstring, you know, the old ones, so the wind wouldn't come up. So I start stuffing food down there. I'm putting pepperoni, those thick Hormels right in my arms. I had a big thing of Velveeta and shells in the back. Now, mind you, you know how shells sound like a maraca? Can you picture me now? I got all the stolen stuff going. I'm like, how am I going to get out of here, man? And all of a sudden, the bad boy must have known that I was like, because he called the cops. Because he's like, you want to come with me, sir? I go, not really. You know, like, and all of a sudden, he grabbed me. And he, like, almost tackled me. And I fell straight back. And when I fell back, the only thing you heard was, poof. And the box of Velveeta and shells ended up opening up. So I squirm away from him like a fish. I get up, I get to run to the door, and all of a sudden you see all these shells coming outside me, like a trail. Like if I wanted to run away, they would know where I was because of the Velveeta and shells. So anyways, I get to the door, and then all of a sudden the cop's here, and I go, I was like, oh, you got me. So I go in there, and I start pulling out all this food, and they're like, he goes, you had that much food in there? I go, no, I'm not done yet. Then I pulled out the pepperonis out of my arm. So I had $42 worth of food. Well, you know, it might sound funny, but it was just bad decision after bad decision. And so, therefore, they put me into jail for 2 weeks. And mind you, here's how God protects you. You know what I mean? They didn't even bring up the old charges, and they never even charged me for the shoplifting. And they still let me out on probation. And yet, this is how smart I am, I still violated probation. And then all of a sudden, my probation officer comes to me, he goes, you're going to have to do something because I'm going to have to violate you. He didn't violate me for 5 months. In the meantime, I started doing heavier drugs. I started doing stuff, and I'll never forget, in that time, I got into crack real bad, and I'm not trying to go in detail about this, but I got so scared one time. I came back from the store, and I seen my friend, take a hit, and all of a sudden, I seen him like, convulsing, and all of a sudden I just literally turned around and walked. It ran out the door, and I went to my friend's house next door, and I got in the room and closed the door behind me and called my mother. And mind you, me and my mother didn't have a relationship at the time, because when they kicked me out of the house, I had real bad resentment. I had real bad anger toward that. You know what I mean? And so, but she called me. I called her, and she prayed for me, and I never touched that stuff again. And so even though you're living in the world, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. I'll tell you that right now. You know, because God will always hear your prayer. And so I got over that thing. So really, I had a really unstable life for a long time. And then like 2005, I started getting myself together. I lived out in Dexter. And then my neighbor, she was like a mentor to me. She's like my grandmother, Ricky Murtha. She taught me how to bake. She taught me how to do this. She told me to like get your life together pretty much. And I really needed that in my life at the time. And so, and plus she was a Catholic. And so she, you know, she had faith, you know what I mean? And so she was a really good influence in my life. So I started painting. I was a painter for 8 or 9 years. And, you know, I was doing it under the table. Now, being a Christian, I would feel so convicted doing that under the table. But anyways, you know, I was on disability. And then I moved to Watertown after a while. And then my life kind of just was wandering aimlessly. I was just, like, living for the flesh. It was always get high every day. It was always just go to the bar and sing your tunes at open mic night and be in bands and do this. You know what I mean? But God always had his hand over me. Always. And about 2017, I got to the point where I said, okay, I want to have a relationship with my mother. Because when I was a young kid, I was like a mama's boy. I really was. You know, all my other siblings, they didn't really have that close relationship with my mother like I did. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start going to church here and there. So I started going to church a little bit here and there. And but mind you, I wasn't going for God. I was going for a relationship with my mother. You know what I mean? And but I'll tell you one thing. Go to church. Even if you think you're not getting anything out of it, you will start being transformed. Yeah. Because I'll tell you a thing. Every time I left that building, I'd come home and I started to find myself not enjoying the things that I was doing. I started going out less. I started like, actually, I was smoking more because I wasn't getting as high much. Because you know why? I think God was cleansing me of that. I truly believe that. And so about 2018, I came down. I got really tired one time. And all of a sudden, I was like, why am I so tired? And then they took a test on me. And they said my blood was 3.5 liters of blood. And they said I should have been dead. And I'm out here trying to weed whack and mow. I'm like going from here to the window and back. And I'm ready to like, I sit down on my scooter. And I'm like, what is going on here? And so they found out I had LGL leukemia. And so then that's when our relationship, me and Mom's, got really, really close. And she was there. She went to all my appointments. I mean, I took bone marrow tests. I took all kinds of stuff. And then so I was taking transfusions here and there. And so it was pretty tough, you know what I mean? But I'd be okay if I get the blood. But I was never afraid, guys. I was never afraid. You know why? Because I had a praying mother and I had praying parents and I had people praying for me on the prayer chain, I'm sure. You know, so I always felt protected. And so anyways, as time went by, I wouldn't let the pot go. And so, but I'll tell you one thing. I always said I would die doing it. You know what God said to me? I'll fix you a little red wagon. I'll tell you that right now. I got literally to the point where I was being so stubborn. I went in 2020 and the nurse came in. And they found out that I have a cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome. It slows down the gastric emptying in your stomach, where you can't even hold water down. And if you know me, I got to take my pills. And if I don't take my pills, I get really, you know, I can't move. And so I got to the point where something has to happen. And then this nurse comes in. Make a long story short, she goes, you can't smoke pot anymore. I was devastated. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I go, it's an anti-nausea medicine. And mind you, I was going to First Baptist at the time, here on and off, but it wasn't anything serious. So over the years, I kept going here and there. And then about almost a year to that day, I'm not even joking, guys, I got sick again. And so I'm still dealing with the cancer and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, I got super sick, and it was about 2 weeks. And then I went to the doctors, and lo and behold, who do you think walked in the room? That same nurse. She goes, I told you, you can't smoke pot anymore. I'm like, okay, I give up. I didn't even consult another doctor after that. And I'm not even kidding. I went to intercessory prayer. This is where the story gets good. This is where God transformed my life. So I never forget it. On Tuesday night, August 3rd, 2021, Paul LeBrecht back there, and pastor, and everybody put their hands on me. And I'll tell you one thing, guys, I never touched pot again. And August 3rd, it's going to be 2 years. No desire. I was spending $400 to $500 a month on it. Like, It was crazy. And then as soon as my mind got clear, I wanted to have a relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to have that relationship with him, to be able to read the Bible and pray to him. I'm not even joking, guys. Within a month, I threw away all my CDs. If you guys knew me, I had like almost 1,000 CDs. Everything from Elvis to Imagine Dragons to Stone Temple, you name it. Name the popular ones, I had it. I threw them all away. I threw away all my DVDs. I started cleansing my house. I started reading the Word every day. I started like doing the things that God wants me to do. And now, mind you, I'm a process right now. But I'll tell you one thing. Like I said, I've come a long, long way. And so now I'm on the worship team at church. I do a singing ministry with my mom, and Jimmy's been using me over at Mercy Point, and we had a really, really good time. And I'll tell you guys, if you guys ever want to be free, and free indeed of any kind of bondage, because I'll tell you one thing, Christians can be in bondage. Don't ever think they can't be. I really suggest that you go over to Jimmy's class at 6:30 on Thursday night for Mercy Point. We have discussions where we can all sit there and talk, and it's a really good class. It's very inspiring for a lot of people. But I'll tell you one thing, I will never leave First Baptist Church. I love my people, and I wouldn't trade them for the world. Let me tell you something right now. But sometimes you need to be spiritually fed throughout the week. It's nice. I go Sunday to my church, and then prayer, then worship, and then Wednesday night, and then I go over to Jimmy's on Thursday night. And I'm telling you, if I could go Friday and Saturday somewhere, I would. Okay? So I just like to let you know to stay strong in the Lord, and I just like to thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony. Amen. Amen.